Let us call upon the name of our God together now in congregational prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee amid the thronging worshipers to bless Thy name. For Thou art Jehovah, the I Am that I Am, from eternity to eternity the same, whose love and mercy is unfailing, whose covenant is an eternal covenant, and whose fellowship with Thy people is an unfailing and eternal fellowship. We come to bless Thy name, for Thou hast condescended to us who are of no account. Thou hast come to us who are creatures of the dust and who have rebelled against Thee and our first father Adam, and who are worthy then of only wrath and Thy eternal curse according to what we are in ourselves. But Thou hast so condescended in Thy mercy that Thou hast lifted us up out of our sin and death. Thou hast lifted us up out of the grave and given to us an inheritance in heaven according to Thy eternal counsel, according to Thy eternal grace, and the election according to grace. Thou hast given us all this through the death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who was well-pleasing and is well-pleasing unto Thee. For He is Thine only begotten Son, very God of very God, come in our flesh for us men and our salvation. And He is perfectly righteous, having in His own person fulfilled all righteousness, and having taken upon Himself the curse due to us, and hast by His atonement purchased for us the Spirit, and given to us all things, all benefits, and all the blessings of salvation. And all of this Thou hast given to us entirely freely, so that we who are nothing and have nothing, we who are poor sinners and only poor sinners, may have from Thee the riches of everlasting life and salvation. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast given to us the gospel of our Lord and the sacraments by which these things are declared unto us for our comfort, for our assurance, as we live before Thee and have need of that comfort and that assurance. We pray then, Father, that Thou wilt bless our worship today. We pray that Thou wilt give to us the Spirit of our Lord, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that Thou wilt give Thy Spirit to Thy servant who proclaims Thy word and who administers the sacrament, so that the gospel proclaimed and the gospel in its sign and seal may nourish us and feed our hungry souls and thirsty souls unto everlasting life. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt bless the elders as they oversee the worship this day. Give to them much grace also. And bless the deacons in their receiving the alms and in their judgment regarding distribution, that there may be, through the work of the office bearers, the peace and safety and blessedness of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ for this congregation. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt remember Thy people also in Northwest Iowa this day. Continue to gather them according to Thy word and spirit by that power. We pray that Thou wilt comfort them and encourage them in their sojourn. Thou be with them as they exist these days as a fellowship. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt so lead and guide and open the path that they may be organized as a church in due time according to Thy perfect will. We pray that Thou wilt also remember the saints in Cornerstone Reformed Protestant Church this day. We thank Thee, Father, that they also, along with the saints in Northwest Iowa and the saints here in Jenison, that we may worship Thee together, though gathered in different places, as the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be united in the gospel of our Lord. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt continue to build us up in the most holy faith, that Thou wilt strengthen our faith and banish all our fears and our doubt and unbelief, and that Thou wilt use the gospel of our Savior to do this. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt watch over the congregation here in our various activities. Wilt Thou be with the plans for societies to be formed this year? Wilt Thou give to those who lead and guide in the organization grace for that work? Wilt Thou bless the societies that Thy word might be a light upon our path and a lamp unto our feet, that we may see clearly in that word our Savior, and sharpen one another as friends in the Lord, and as iron sharpens iron. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt remember also Miss Kate Duzema as she transfers to second. We thank Thee for her time of membership in our midst. We pray that Thou wilt bless her as she takes up her life and home among the saints of second, and in her teaching in the school there. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt remember our school. Wilt Thou give to the teachers grace and strength as they prepare for the instruction in this upcoming year. We beseech Thee for a rich measure of Thy sustaining grace unto them, that they may be able, by the power of Thy Spirit, to teach the children that have been committed to the care of us as parents, and for whose sake we band together and hire teachers to instruct them. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt bless our covenant homes, that Thou wilt bless our school. We pray that in all these things Thy name may be honored and glorified, and the coming generation might be established upon Thy word and prepared for their place and their calling that Thou dost give unto them. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt watch over the consistory and the council and the deacons as they meet in this week. Wilt Thou give to the office bearers much grace for the matters that come before them and the decisions that they are called upon to make. We thank Thee, Father, for the office bearer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who stands in our midst and who leads us by His word and Spirit, so that our hope and our trust may be in Him and in Him alone, who has given Himself for us. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt remember our sick and afflicted also. Wilt Thou care for them, restoring them to health according to Thy will. We thank Thee for the continued measure of recovery that Thou hast given to Linda. Wilt Thou continue to strengthen her according to Thy will. We pray Thy blessing also upon Gabe. Continue to strengthen him according to Thy will. Wilt Thou be with all of those in the congregation who have physical needs and who suffer in various ways, whether those ways are known to us or known only to Thee. We pray, Father, for the comfort of the great physician and for patience and strength, that in all of our illnesses we may be reminded how empty we are and how low and little and nothing we are, and that all of our hope and all of our life itself is entirely from Thee. Pray, Father, that we may confess these things too, to the glory of Thy name. We pray that Thou wilt forgive the iniquities that we have committed against Thee. We are sorry for our sins. We mourn over them and confess before Thee our complete unworthiness in ourselves to be assembled here, to stand before thy face. We pray, Father, that thou wilt strengthen us by our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone we have the right to come into thy house and to sit at table with thee. We thank thee for our Savior and for his gospel. Wilt thou comfort our souls and assure us by that gospel this day. Thou keep us also from sin, that we may live a life of gratitude unto thee, that it may be our meat and our drink to serve thee, and to do all things to thy glory. For thou art our God, our covenant God. Thy mercies in Jesus Christ are from of old, and fail not. Wilt thou then hear our prayer, Father? For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our surety. For Jesus' sake, amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offering. The one offering that will be received at this time is for the general fund. Psalter number 55, number 55. In pastures green he feeds me, with plenty I am blessed. The three stanzas, all three of 55.
Thank you.
We turn in God's Word this morning to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through the end of the chapter. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. This is the word of God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. On the basis of that passage and many others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 28. Lord's Day 28. Question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." This promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ himself has set before you this morning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Lord set this sacrament of the Lord's Supper before you this morning when, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And the Lord Jesus Christ set this supper before you this morning when, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the wine and blessed it and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it, and do so in remembrance of me." When the Lord Jesus Christ did that, the same night in which he was betrayed, on the eve of his crucifixion upon the cross, he set before you, by that institution, this sacrament this morning. The Lord set this sacrament before you. The Lord insisted that the members of his church, until he comes again, eat and drink his body and blood in remembrance of him. And when the Lord instituted this sacrament and sets it before you this morning, the Lord is telling you something by that. The Lord is telling you, as members of his church, that you are empty in yourselves. He's showing you how starving hungry and how empty you are and how empty I am in ourselves. That we have no life, no salvation, no place in heaven, no righteousness, no eternal blessedness in ourselves, but in ourselves are entirely empty. And all of that life and righteousness and salvation is found in him and his broken body and his shed blood, and found in his broken body and shed blood alone. The Lord is telling us by this sacrament of our own emptiness, and he is telling us by this sacrament that he fills us. That he fills us with every blessing of salvation. The Catechism says all his benefits. The Catechism refers in all of his benefits there to our eternal life. It refers to our place in heaven. It refers to our justification. It refers to our sanctification. It refers to everything that the Lord has purchased for us by his death. The Lord gives that to you, and the Lord must give that to you. For you and I do not have that in ourselves. And when the Lord sets this supper before us this morning to tell us how empty we are in ourselves, and to teach us how he fills us by his one sacrifice upon the cross. The Lord sets that before us to make you sure of it. To make you sure of it. So that you and I, who cannot even be sure of these things in ourselves, who do not even have it in us to embrace him in ourselves, who would only be filled with doubt in ourselves about our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, may have this sacrament for our assurance. That's the Lord's love for his church. The same night in which he was betrayed, when he set this sacrament before you this morning, he showed his love that not only would he save you and me and bring to us all of his benefits, but that he would also assure us of that great salvation. The Heidelberg Catechism draws our attention to that purpose of the Lord when it asks and answers, or question 75, how art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? How art thou admonished and assured by this sacrament of the sacrifice of Christ for you? And so we consider this Lord's Day this morning as we come to the table under the theme, admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper. In the first place, consider what. In the second place, consider by what. And in the third place, consider unto what. Admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper. What, by what, and unto what? The Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that the Lord's Supper is given to us by Jesus Christ himself to admonish us and to assure us. To admonish us means to teach us. It means to bring to our minds and to our consciousness some truth. It means to set before our minds that truth and that teaching and that doctrine so that we know that truth and so that we understand that truth. And to be assured is to have in our hearts that firm conviction that this truth that has been set before us is truth indeed, and that it is reality indeed. The Catechism says that the Lord's Supper is given to us to admonish us and to assure us that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits. The Catechism further explains what we are being admonished and assured of in question 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also besides that to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. The Catechism here is setting before us the doctrine and the truth that the Lord's Supper has to do with. The doctrine and the truth that the Lord's Supper is admonishing us of, and that the Lord's Supper is assuring us of. And the doctrine and truth that the Lord's Supper testifies is the doctrine and truth of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is for thee, and that thou art a partaker of that sacrifice and of all his benefits. That's the doctrine and the truth that the Lord's Supper sets forth. That doctrine and truth that is set forth in the Lord's Supper then begins with the atonement of our Lord. That's what you are admonished of and assured of in the sacrament, the atonement of the Lord. The atonement is that work of the Lord Jesus Christ to make a payment required by the justice of God for the sins of all of his people, and to make that payment so fully that there is no payment left to be made, and so that all of the sins of God's people are remitted and covered over and forgotten. That's the atonement of the Lord. That atonement the Lord accomplished on the cross when he took upon himself the guilt and the penalty that you and I deserved for our sin. The guilt and the penalty was death, and such a death as strikes fear into the heart of every man. For that death is the death of bearing the curse of Jehovah God himself, who is perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. Can you imagine what it would be to stand before Jehovah God, who is perfectly holy and who loves himself with such a perfect love that that love cannot tolerate and cannot stand even the slightest departure from his holy law and from his holy being? And to stand before that holy God who loves himself so perfectly with all kinds of rebellion to your account and to mine, with the rebellion to your account and mine of not loving him the way he loves himself, loving him with a love that cools and that wanes and that is not zealous for the Lord. The Lord's love doesn't cool and wane for himself. The Lord's love is always zealous for himself. He can tolerate nothing less than perfect love for himself. But if you and I were to stand before the Lord with that cool love and that lack of zeal for him, then his own love for himself would lash out and burn us up, consume us in everlasting destruction and sorrow. That's the holiness of Jehovah God. And you and I, who do not love the Lord as we ought, and do not give ourselves to him with that zeal as we are bound, have been given the Lord Jesus Christ, who took on himself all of our lack of love, all of our lack of zeal, all of our carelessness in loving God and loving the neighbor. And the Lord Jesus Christ had the love of God reach out to him and burn him up, so to speak, especially in those 3 hours of darkness upon the cross. There, the wrath of God fell upon him in all of the eternal, infinite fury of God against sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, by bearing all of your sin and all of your lack of love and mine, atoned for that sin and paid the full measure that was required by God for that sin, so that that whole sin of all your life of lack of love for God is covered over and remitted and forgotten, so to speak, by Jehovah God. He does not count that sin as yours. He does not see that sin upon you. He put it on Christ. He really put it on Christ so that you and I are forgiven that sin. That's the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this supper speaks to that atonement. That's the doctrine and truth that you are admonished of and assured of, because in this sacrament there is the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the wine. which is the sacrament of the broken body of Jesus Christ and His shed blood upon the cross for our sins. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all His benefits. There is the truth of the atonement in this sacrament. There is also the truth, closely connected, of justification in this sacrament. That's the truth that is set before our minds and of which we are assured this morning. Justification. God's justification of us is His declaration that we are righteous on the basis of that atonement of the Lord. His declaration that He sees no sin in Israel, that He sees no iniquity in Judah, because of the shed blood of the Lord. And more, justification is God's declaration that all of the perfect righteousness and satisfaction and obedience of Jesus Christ is ours and is counted as ours by the mercy and grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ had all of our lack of love put upon Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ Himself loved God perfectly. He loved God the way God loves Himself. There was never any waning of His love and zeal for the Lord. There was never any lack in our Lord's obedience to God in that love. It was perfect and whole and entire. The Lord loved God perfectly, so that when Jesus Christ stands before God in that love, there is no lashing out of Jehovah God against Him for that love. But that love is perfect and whole and entire. And now in justification, God declares that all of that perfect love of Christ is yours. He declares that you never waned in your love for God, that there was no lack of it in you, but that you love God the way God Himself loves Himself. And that declaration of justification is not because in you or in me there is any such perfect love of God, not because we have loved God the way He loves Himself, but because Christ did. That perfect love of Christ is counted as your perfect love of Jehovah God. That's justification. And that's what we are admonished of and assured of in the sacrament before us. When the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself upon the cross, He purchased for us all righteousness, and He purchased for us all of these gifts, including justification. On the basis of the atonement of our Lord, Jehovah God declares us righteous in Him. Included in the doctrine and truth set before us in the Lord's Supper is the truth of the covenant of God, the eternal covenant of God, according to which He dwells with His people in Jesus Christ. That covenant fellowship that the Lord establishes between Himself and us in Christ, and in which He comes near to us in Christ and makes His tabernacle among us and dwells among us as our covenant friend sovereign and we as His covenant friend servants. That truth of the covenant is taught in the sacrament and by the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that cross of our Lord is the only way that the people of God can have fellowship with Jehovah God. Apart from our Savior, we are corrupt. Apart from our Savior, we are only filthy. and have no righteousness that can be counted as ours. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all of His righteousness, all of His holiness, all of His obedience. So that through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through that gift of justification, as the legal ground, Jehovah God comes to fellowship and dwell with His people. His communion with you and His fellowship with you as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is taught in the sacrament. There is a table here. You come and sit by that table. Even if we do not do that physically, that's the spiritual meaning of what we're doing when we partake of the supper together. We come and sit at this table of the Lord together. The Lord is at that table. He's at that table by His word and spirit. He's at that table by His sacrament. He comes and He fellowships with you, brings you near unto Him. In that covenant fellowship, that too is taught as the truth and doctrine of the table of the Lord. All of that teaching of the sacrament is proclaimed and declared in the preaching of the gospel. By the preaching of the holy gospel, which is the setting forth of that truth and that doctrine, by the word of the Lord Himself, we understand the meaning of the sacrament. We are admonished and assured in the sacrament of what the gospel declares. That too is evident in the Lord's Day. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross? And of all His benefits, that one sacrifice of Christ is the message of the gospel. It is the one thing that the gospel declares. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, I would know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There is the gospel that Paul proclaimed. There is the gospel that the preaching proclaimed. So that the sacrament and its admonition and its assurance and its truth and its doctrine is understood in the preaching of the gospel that sets forth the atonement and justification and covenant fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ atoned for our sins. Jehovah God justifies us on the basis of that atonement and enters into covenant fellowship with us on the basis of that atonement. But now the Lord Jesus Christ assures you of that atonement and justification and covenant fellowship. He assures you of it. It is one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished it. He accomplished your atonement and justification and covenant fellowship. It is another thing now that He assures you of it. The Lord Jesus Christ brings this truth to bear upon your heart so that you know it and are admonished of it. And He brings it to bear upon your heart so that you're convicted of it, so that you are confident of it, and can say, the Lord Jesus Christ has atoned for me, and all of His righteousness is mine, and the covenant fellowship of Jehovah God is mine. This is why He gave the Lord's Supper, so that you may be sure of those works that He accomplished. And that's the main point of Lord's Day 28. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper? That thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ. Christ commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup, adding these promises that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. That's the purpose of this Lord's Supper. That's why the Lord instituted it, for your assurance of his saving work for you. As many as he has called, as many as are his children, the Lord instituted this supper for your assurance of his salvation of you. That shows how empty we are by ourselves. That shows how unbelieving we are and how weak we are in ourselves. You and I are not only this week that you and I cannot atone for our own sins. It's true, we are that weak. We are that corrupt. We cannot atone for our own sins. And our weakness is not only this, that we cannot justify ourselves. That's true too. You and I cannot justify ourselves. We cannot be righteous before God in ourselves, but must be righteous before God outside of ourselves. That is, have a righteousness from outside of ourselves, the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us. And you and I are so weak that we cannot have fellowship with God in ourselves, but must have that fellowship in Christ as the head and mediator and surety of the covenant. All of that's true. We are that weak. But our weakness is such that not only can we not accomplish those things, our weakness is such that we can't even be sure of those things. We cannot even know those things of ourselves. All that we have of ourselves is doubt and unbelief. All that we have of ourselves is emptiness. So that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper to show us you need me even to assure you of these things, and even to give you the faith to believe these things and to have all of these things. That's the testimony of the supper. And that is a blessed, blessed testimony. It's blessed for you and it's blessed for me. Because the alternative is that you and I must come to this supper and say, I found enough in me to be here. I found enough strength in my own faith to be here. I found enough strength in my own conviction to be here, so that I come to the table partly to hear what Christ did, but partly to testify what I did. And if anyone must come to the table that way, by finding enough in himself, then all of us better turn around and go home. And when the bread is passed and the wine is passed, if there's anyone here yet, then nobody may take any. If that's the meaning of coming to the table, that I found enough in me to be here. The table does not testify to us that there is enough in us to be here. Rather, it testifies of our weakness and our emptiness, and that the Lord had to give a whole sacrament to admonish us and assure us of all of his work. Even our certainty, even our faith comes from Jehovah, and not from ourselves. What a blessed way to come to the table. Because when I come to church this morning and find all my weakness, and find all my doubt and all my unbelief, then I know, oh yes, then this is for me. This is for me. Because I have nothing to bring here and must receive everything. Everything, even my faith, even my confidence, from the hand of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His love for His church, will have us be assured and admonished of our partaking of His cross and of all His benefits. He will have it. Remember when the Lord instituted this supper. Remember when He set out this table for you this morning. The Lord set out this table for you this morning, the same night in which He was betrayed, on the eve of His crucifixion, with the wrath of God looming and already weighing upon Him. The Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me," according to the words of our Lord as delivered to the Apostle Paul and given to us in 1 Corinthians 11. The night of the Lord's betrayal, He was going to accomplish all of that atonement and justification. He was going to obtain for us the right to all that covenant fellowship. But there was also this that He must do, that He must do. The same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread so that you and I would have this sacrament this morning to be admonished and assured of the love of God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The assurance of the people of God is an important matter to the Lord. The assurance of the people of God is such an important matter to the Lord Jesus Christ that He does not leave that assurance up to us. It's such an important matter for Him that He takes our assurance upon Himself as something that He will give to us. It's such an important matter to Him that He does not leave that assurance to whatever we do after He has atoned for us. But the night He was betrayed made our assurance the matter of His own gift, the matter of His own work, as He instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And if you have ever been taught that your assurance of righteousness and life is a matter that's left to you and left to your work, then you reject that teaching. You spit that teaching out as deadly poison. And you come and you eat and drink instead the admonition and assurance of the gospel, that the Lord doesn't even leave the assurance of His people to them, but He Himself provides it in His gospel and in His sacrament. That's great comfort for the church of Jesus Christ. That underscores as well then the means by which the Lord gives that assurance. He admonishes us and assures us by His promise, which is added to this sacrament. The Catechism teaches that when It says, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. And it is those promises of the Lord, the promise that his body was broken and his blood shed for us, and his promise that his Holy Spirit is given to us to make us partakers of him. It is that promise that carries that assurance to our hearts. It is the promise that goes out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which promise is added to the sacrament, which promise is able to go into your heart and to convict your heart and assure your heart, because the Word of God and the promise of God has that power that no other thing does. When God speaks a word to your heart, you hear it. You hear it. Jehovah God, according to his eternal decree of election, sovereignly causes his people to hear that promise and to know that promise for themselves. And there's something very mysterious about this. The mysterious part of all of this is that the Holy Spirit, who is the breath of God, carries that promise of God into our hearts and causes that promise to take effect so that we are sure and convicted of the work of the Lord for us. And the Holy Spirit bloweth where he listeth, as the wind does. There's something mysterious about his work. You can't see that work happening. Sometimes, maybe even most times, you can't feel emotionally that work happening. But that work is sovereign and effectual and is happening, that the Holy Spirit carries that promise into your heart. And that Word of God is effectual to make you know, to make you believe your righteousness, and that you are a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits. That promise that is given in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That promise that all of God's people, whosoever believe in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That promise is effectual to make you know, I have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And that means that that promise of salvation in Christ must be proclaimed purely in the Church of Jesus Christ. The promise may never be corrupted with the work of man. The promise may never be made conditional. There may never be introduced into that promise some kind of prerequisite of man, so that what man does makes the promise effectual. It's not what man does that makes the promise effectual. It's the promise itself that's effectual, and the Holy Spirit himself who makes that promise effectual. There must never be introduced into the preaching of the gospel some condition to the promise. If that is done, it would be like the minister, every time he preaches that condition, going down to the table, lifting the cover, and sprinkling some rat poison over the bread, and tipping a bit of arsenic into the wine, and then covering it back up over again, and feeding that to the people. That kind of bread and wine kills, destroys, poisons. so also that kind of gospel kills and destroys and poisons. The gospel and its promise must be proclaimed purely. That's what was delivered by the Lord. The truth that His body and blood is shed for the salvation of His people. That promise is received by faith, which faith is the assurance of the people of God, and which faith is worked by the promise and strengthened and confirmed by the sacrament. One does not come to the table to testify thereby that his faith is of him and perfect. But he comes to testify, I need even that gift of faith from my Lord and have been given it, so that I embrace my Lord with a believing heart and receive by that faith, which is not a work but the opposite of working, all of his salvation. That faith is created by that promise and confirmed by the sacrament. And all of this, then, is unto the glory of Jehovah God. When we are dealing with atonement and justification and covenant, when we are dealing with the assurance of the people of God, we are dealing with all things Christ. We are dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ and His person and His work. And we are dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ as He is the center and meaning of the counsel of Jehovah, the eternal counsel of Jehovah. The Lord Jesus Christ in the counsel of God is before all things. The Lord Jesus Christ in the counsel of God is the head of the covenant. He is the mediator of the covenant who atones for his people. He is in the counsel of God the center and meaning of all things, the purpose of all things in that counsel. So that when we deal with the Lord's Supper and deal with the atonement and justification and deal with Christ, we are dealing with Jehovah God and his eternal love for his church. It is Jehovah who will have his church sure of his love and his church sure of their salvation through Jesus Christ. And so all of this assurance that the Lord gives to his church through the sacrament is unto the glory and the praise of God. So that as we confess, I am nothing, and I am empty in myself, we also confess, Jehovah God is all in all, and has filled me with his love and salvation in Jesus Christ. The same night in which he was betrayed, the Lord laid out this supper for you, and he gives you this supper to teach you your emptiness and his fullness, and to assure you of it. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts and assure us of our salvation by it. Forgive all our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.